Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivanic, Communications Director for the City Council. On this week's show, passing the 2013 budget and making sure anyone, anywhere can hail a cab in the city of Columbus. We begin with Columbus City Council member Michelle Mills, the chair of the Public Safety and Judiciary Committee, announcing that City Council will consider an ordinance Monday evening lifting the moratorium on new cab licenses in the city of Columbus. Councilmember Mills says the legislation will allow for 30 new licenses that will be used to operate wheelchair-accessible vehicles that will be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for residents and visitors to use.
I certainly want to say thank you to each and every one of you who have taken time to come out and celebrate with us what I consider very momentous this occasion. I want to thank Jeff for his awesome introduction. I really appreciate it, and thank you for hosting us today. That's important so folks can not only hear what we're talking about, but get a visual for what this means for the great city of Columbus. We at Columbus City Council have not increased the number of taxicab licenses permitted in the city since 1997. This makes this a pretty unique and exciting day, just for the mere understanding that since 1997, we have not increased the number of licenses that can transport our great citizens. The Vehicle for Hire Board have been working very diligently, very hard on making wheelchair-accessible taxicabs a reality for close to a year. I want to take this time to commend all of the members of the Vehicle for Hire Board, all of the folks in the industry for working with us and being partners to what you heard from Jeff talk about, the changes we're looking for the industry on as a whole. I want to thank the folks in license section and the other folks in public safety who have worked tremendously hard over the past year in trying to make changes that we know are necessary for moving our city forward. For Columbus to be nationally recognized city, our taxicab industry must modernize so that our fleet is inclusive for everyone, for all of our citizens. I am very proud to be a part of this advancement in the services offered to our citizens and the visitors, particularly those with limited mobility. These wheelchair and specialty licenses that we will issue to owners and vehicles will meet the current City of Columbus taxicab standards and also need to obtain ambulance certification from the Ohio Medical Transportation Board. The vehicles are intended to be used for non-emergency medical transportation. Their owners will have to provide 24 hours a day and 7 day a week dispatch service, which means that these vehicles will be on call when our citizens need them, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The providers for our passengers requesting wheelchair and specialty tap service will be a priority services for all of our passengers needing it. The wheelchair accessible taxi cabs will be less expensive way to travel for many of our individuals with limited mobility. They will be charged the exact same fee as any other individual taking a taxi cab along the same route. And as I took a tour of the vehicles, I like the way that they are able to enter a taxi cab just as any other passenger will. I think that's extremely important in ensuring that we provide equality in our taxi cab services. They will also be able to call and have taxi cab available on that same day as wheelchair accessible taxi cabs can reach them and pick them up at their desired location. Currently, the limited mobility individuals have to plan in advance to reserve a wheelchair accessible vehicle, and this is generally much more expensive. This is a vital service that the city can offer to our citizens and our visitors at an affordable cost. I am very happy to repeal our current moratorium on new taxicab licenses in the city. This will allow for the additional specialty licenses. Columbus is moving forward. That's what makes this exciting. We're moving forward to ensure that we provide equality services for all of our citizens. We are proving once again that we're a progressive and open city. And I want to thank everyone for being here. Another great day to celebrate as we celebrate our year of bicentennial activities. This is among the top. It creates equality and accessibility for all of our citizens, and that's what made our great city wonderful many years ago, and that's what's going to take us to the future. Thank you all very much.
That was Councilmember Mills. The safety chair mentioned the ability for those in wheelchairs to more easily move around our community. Brent Simons uses a wheelchair and is the head of the Columbus Advisory Committee on Disability Issues.
The transportation that is provided by the taxi service and what this opportunity allows us to have, Councilwoman Mills did address the tourism implications. People coming into our city to experience what Central Ohio has to offer. The one thing with people who use mobility devices, just simply getting from the airport to anywhere, the convention center, anywhere where there's anything that they want to have any experience with, it's been a very difficult thing. And that's something that anybody has going to any major city, that you get to the airport, you get to train stations, you get anywhere, but you can't get there without planning in advance. This will allow people to get to where they're going, get to hotels, and actually be able to call and get a ride wherever they want to go and actually have fun once they get here. And that's the great thing. The city council and the mayor have worked very hard to develop Columbus and get it to where we are now and to develop it for better experiences in the future. And this is a big step moving forward for everyone. I want to thank council for making this a possibility. Thank you very much.
And finally, as the community ages, it is not a stretch to believe that more Columbus residents may become wheelchair-bound and would take advantage of this low-cost mobility option. From the Central Ohio Area Agency on Aging is the agency's director, Cindy Farson.
You know, as Americans, we put a high value on independence, and for a lot of people, transportation is independence. It's the freedom to continue to participate in the things that are important to you, to work, to volunteer, to worship, to maintain your friendships, to go to important family events. At the Central Ohio Area Agency on Aging, we do lots of surveys. And what we find in those surveys is that older adults always say, number one, the unmet need is transportation. Age or disability does not end your desire to want to go where you want, when you want. So this initiative is going to work hand in hand with the Senior Options Levy, Passport, and other publicly funded programs. And we're going to be able to meet service needs for transportation at a lower cost. I think everybody knows the demographics of the senior population is growing tremendously, and people don't want to give up those driver's licenses. But if you encounter a disability and you have to do that, it's going to be a lot easier when you know that you can get around when you want and not pre-plan and just be able to call a cab and do what you want. That's going to be huge. We congratulate the City of Columbus, Yellow Cab, and all the other cab companies that will be using their new licenses to bring that valued independence to Columbus residents. It's another step in making this city a livable community for all of its residents. And we want to thank Councilmember Mills, our city leaders, and the cab companies for recognizing that important need and filling it.
This is just the latest effort for those in the taxi cab industry to make Columbus a better place to live and work. Late last year, the Yellow Cab Company rolled out the Taxis on Patrol program. Specially trained drivers will act as eyes and ears for police and deputies in Columbus and Franklin County, calling in suspicious activity to the authorities. At the announcement in mid-December was Councilmember Paley.
Taxis on Patrol provides a collaboration and a partnership between private and public entities that will allow us to have extra eyes on the streets. It's a really unique and nice idea to allow cab drivers who are out on the streets every single day and every single hour of every day to be extra eyes for the police and for the neighborhoods. What will happen is they are going to the Yellow Cab Company has agreed to invest on their own and installing 130 cameras in their cabs that will be able to film possibly crimes, hopefully not, and be able to work in conjunction with the Sheriff's Department and the Columbus Police Department in order to be extra eyes with regards to crime patrol. We know that it works in block watches, so this is just an extension of that puts block watches on wheels. Not only do we have the police and the sheriff's department, but we have our taxis on patrol that make our city one of the safest cities in the country to live, work, and raise your family, and to come and be a destination place for them to enjoy their vacations and the other great things in the city of Columbus. I actually asked Yellow Cab and the police officers, well, what is it? What's in it for you, for them, for UDF and for the yellow cabs. And what the police officers in yellow cab told me is that these cab drivers are part of our community, and it's their place to live and work, and they're investing in their city. And so they're excited to be part of the safety of their city and investing in their community.
That was Councilmember Paley. To become a certified Taxis on Patrol driver, the drivers use training material put together by the Columbus Division of Police and the Franklin County Sheriff's Office. Yellow Cab's Jeff Cates says the company's goal is to equip all 130 of their fleet with cameras like those in police cars to provide additional protection and possibly evidence.
TOP program, Taxis on Patrol, is a joint effort between the transportation industry and law enforcement to try and make the city of Columbus even a safer, better place to do business and live. And Columbus has benefited by the efforts of law enforcement for years, and this is an opportunity for the transportation industry, Yellow Cab of Columbus in particular, to give back a little bit. We've benefited by the support of law enforcement, and we want to do our part for the safety of Columbus. The driver, it's as simple as if you see something, you say something. You don't get involved. The law enforcement, they're the ones that are trained and much better prepared to handle anything beyond that. All we're asked to do is take detailed information and try and communicate in a calm and concise manner. If we see something, leave a callback number. If there's any details that law enforcement needs after the fact, so they can get a hold of us, and we share that data internally. You know, any information that is seen on the streets, we accumulate that just to show the success that we are having so other communities can benefit and learn from what we're doing here in Columbus. Yeah, the program itself is voluntary. It's totally voluntary. And Denise Funderburk and Norman Scroggins are two of the drivers that were with us today, and they were two of the first to volunteer for this program. They're doing, you know, it's stuff that taxi drivers have been doing for a long time, and the additional training just makes it that much more effective. We're lucky to have both those drivers along with the other 170 plus drivers at Yellow Cab. We've already got 20 drivers that have gotten involved in the program and are at some stage of the training process right now. So we're going to have a great contingent of Yellow Cab drivers trained and participating in the TOP program. The other thing that I would like to mention is it works both ways. We're sharing information, but then on BOLOs, or be on the lookout for, they have the opportunity through our dispatch system to send us messages if there's anything in particular they want our fleet of 130 vehicles to help with.
That was Yellow Cab's Jeff Cates. United Dairy Farmers is also a partner in the Taxis on Patrol program. UDF locations will become official staging stops for Yellow Cabs. Columbus City Council President Andrew J. Ginther joined many of his fellow council members for a tour of Nationwide's new 200,000-square-foot facility at 10 West Nationwide Boulevard in downtown Columbus. The building, which opened this week, will accommodate approximately 1,000 Nationwide associates, primarily in the company's Nationwide Financial Retirement Plans business. Council President Ginther says the development and the jobs it brings to the downtown is a prime example of why City Council, along with Mayor Coleman, Franklin County Commissioners of the State of Ohio, and the business community, has worked hard together to protect the community's investment in the Arena District.
Very exciting day for Columbus, and we're thrilled to continue this partnership with Nationwide Insurance, and thrilled to add an additional 1,000 jobs into downtown. As we've learned today, 9,200 Nationwide associates right here in the neighborhood, which is great for the city of Columbus. It's great for the school district, and it's a great opportunity for skilled workers to enjoy a great environment for their entire career. So we're excited about this. It means for Columbus that we have 1,000 new income taxpayers into the city, and the capacity, in my understanding, with both this and the rest of the Arena District, that we could certainly house thousands of more workers in the future. And this is why the Arena District is one of the most important job centers in Columbus, and why we've fought so hard and invested so much in protecting it and growing it.
That's Council President Ginther. Brian Ellis is the president of Nationwide Realty Investment and says the new facility is another statement to the commitment the company has to the Columbus downtown. Talk about how this building fits into the overall nationwide footprint here in the Arena District.
This, along with the building that we're building for Columbia Gas, allows us to complete the streetscape from High Street all the way to Neal Avenue and behind along Nationwide Boulevard. So really pleased about it. This corner of Nationwide and High has been a little bit of a gap, and we've changed that pretty dramatically. We're really excited about the connections it allows us to make.
Especially down the backbone of Columbus High Street, you've invested a lot, not only financially, but also in planning to make sure that the High Street end of Nationwide Boulevard really fits into the entire streetscape.
This particular project allows for a great connection between the new Hilton Hotel back to High Street, very pedestrian friendly, great access to parking. Really pleased with how it complements the other developments that have already taken place in the area.
Council President was just talking about the 1,000 jobs coming into the downtown area. Certainly a commitment from Nationwide that the urban core is important to your mission as well.
Well, we've always been a supporter of downtown Columbus. We continue to be. We invest in it. We create jobs here. Now we have 9,200 people in downtown Columbus and over 13,000 people in Central Ohio. So really, really pleased to have such a great workforce in Central Ohio, and happy to bring more of them to our headquarters.
So what's next?
Well, we continue to develop. We've got a building that we're building on the west side of the arena for Columbia Gas. That's a significant project. More housing, lots of activity in the Arena District.
The Columbus City Council has passed the 2013 General Fund budget. The mayor first proposed a $766 million spending plan in mid-November. Council has held a series of public hearings to discuss the budget priorities and numerous amendments made to the budget by council members. Most significantly, the City Council, under the leadership of President Andrew J. Ginther, set aside $3 million in the 2012 carryover money for the city's Rainy Day Fund, helping Columbus reach its goal of $50 million in the fund by 2014, and also providing a down payment on a larger goal of growing the fund to $75 million by 2018. Here's Finance Committee Chair Priscilla R. Tyson.
The general fund budget, as amended, will total $773,665,000. And focuses on supporting the city's top priorities, which include a sustained commitment to our savings, safety, jobs, economic development, and maintaining our core services to our neighborhoods, as well as the quality of life. Collectively, these ordinances will authorize more than $1.6 billion in spending to provide services to our investments. And when you think about the amount of money that we're spending and investing in our community, it certainly is a reason why I think our unemployment in Columbus is now about 5.4%, as well as we've been noted by the Bloomberg Business Week as one of the 20 best cities across the country. And so as we get ready to hopefully approve this budget, there are many people we want to thank for helping us to get to this point. First of all, I want to thank the residents and the citizens of our city who have been part of many public hearings, phone conversations, dialogue, and collectively, each of these individuals makes Columbus one of the finest cities and places to live, work, and play in to raise a family. I want to publicly express our appreciation to the mayor and the administration, as well as to Auditor Dorian and to Director Rakowski and his staff who've helped make this evening possible. I also want to take the moment to thank all the employees of City Council who have worked tirelessly in helping us to prepare our budget. And I want to thank Kate Pisciotti McSweeney. I also Brian Clark, and of course Carl Williams, and my whole team of people that worked hard on this budget. The mayor and the administration's approach to governance, coupled with the additions by this council, have produced a budget plan which will deliver services in a cost-effective manner and moreover invest in programs and services that will grow our local economy. The patience and innovation and continued creativity of this council are truly appreciated. And while I recognize the importance of this entire budget, I want to specifically thank each of my council members. First of all, I want to thank Councilmember A. Troy Miller for his commitment to small business incubators. Small business development is critical to a healthy local economy, President Pro Tem Miller's efforts to help small companies get off the ground and increase their chances of long-term success reflects his council's commitment to sharpening our city's competitive edge by implementing aggressive economic development strategies that support job creation. I also want to thank Councilmember Eileen Paley for her commitment to small business development, our business associations, and the ability to connect with businesses at the grassroots level are important to the long-term growth and prosperity of our neighborhood business districts, and especially her commitment to the University Area Business Association. Councilmember Zach Klein, thank you for working to expand micro enterprise loan programs and small business loan programs, investing over $1 million in those businesses, and so thank you for that amendment. Councilmember Herschel Craig, thank you for joining me in support for training for our small businesses. By tapping into city-sponsored training sessions, small business owners and their employees will be able to expand their proficiency and develop skills that will support future economic success of those businesses. Councilmember Michelle Mills, I want to thank you for your efforts to streamline the efficiency of city government. And our food trucks support our local economy, and they have certainly exploded in popularity in our community. So thank you for that. President Ginther, I want to thank you for the support you have given to me throughout this entire process. Certainly you have been focusing on the EBOC with the making sure that we have changed the way we're looking at our contracts and for businesses. Your commitment to early childhood education is clearly so important as we continue to move our community forward. Also, your commitment to infant mortality, so I thank you for that. And then in my area, I'm certainly going to continue to focus on workforce development, human services, and health, because a strong workforce absolutely needs people who are prepared to be able to have those jobs in all the small businesses and also to work within the companies within our community. So each of these highlights is noteworthy. However, they in themselves do not reflect the whole picture, because this council also is making sure that they're thinking about those that are the least of us, the homeless, children, youth, individuals with health care issues, individuals suffering with addiction, all sorts of issues going on within the human services, and this council is certainly being very responsive in that area. The quality of life is very important to this council, because we know that with all the investment that we're making in these other areas, people come to Columbus because of our quality of life, and there certainly is an investment from the administration as well as this council on quality of life. And lastly, we are making sure the savings that this council with the mayor are ensuring that we have put $13 million into the rainy day fund to position ourselves for future success. Our goal is to, as we pass the resolution, that we will have a commitment to having at least $95 million in the rainy day fund. Councilmember Klein.
Thank you, Chairman Tyson, for the work that you've done in shepherding us through this process. I think you did a terrific job of summarizing all of the great things that we have in this budget, but it's hard to go unnoticed the amount of emphasis this council is taking on job creation, in particular on small business development and creating the right and appropriate atmosphere so small businesses can grow and expand in the city of Columbus, whether it's through some of the workforce development stuff that you're sponsoring, the incubators that President Pro Tem Miller is sponsoring, and the loans that are available for small businesses, because the one single focus of all of those programs and all of the opportunities is for job creation. And while we're very fortunate to be really the city in the Midwest that's leading in job creation and having a stable economic environment and having a low unemployment rate, simply it's not good enough. There are still people that are looking for jobs. There are still people that are unemployed. And through these programs and the work that was done by this council, by this mayor, as well as the small business roundtable. I think there's some people in the audience tonight that are from the members of the small business roundtable, and it's through the work that we've done collectively and the ideas that were brought from them and fostered through us and vetted that we're able to bring forward the loans that are available. We're able to bring forward workforce development. We're able to bring forward incubators. All of those were a thought out implementation of what it can mean for the success of small business in the city of Columbus. So I encourage everyone to vote in favor of this budget. I think it's going to be great for the citizens of the city of Columbus in restoring services that were cut in the downturn in the economy, as well as putting us in the step forward for job creation, economic vibrancy for the years to come. Thank you, Chair Tyson.
Director Rakowski, before I move forward, any comments would you like to make?
President Ginther, Chair Tyson, members of council, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate the working relationship that we have as chair and finance director. It's a pleasure to work with you and your staff, and we always get through these things and with shining brightly here for the city of Columbus, and I hope we can continue to deliver quality services and continue to save money against our appropriation. And I do want to thank you for giving me my gift, which is the additional money in the city's rainy day fund, because that is very important that we continue to rebuild our savings account. We don't ever want to see another downturn come, but we know it will come, and this way we'll prepare ourselves so that we can protect our neighborhoods and protect the services that we offer to the citizens.
We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CALLTHEROLL at columbus.gov. Don't forget, you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, to Voice Corps, and have a great weekend.